The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
BIB Radio. We are on Black Talk Radio Network. And I just want to welcome everyone here tonight. Thank you for joining us. You could be listening to a number of different things. You could be watching TV, but you chose to listen to us. So I just want to say hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. If you would like to join us tonight by speaking to our guest, or if you'd like to listen by phone for whatever reason, or invite your friends to listen by phone, you can call at 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549-032-pound. If you would like to speak, press star 6 and then number 1, and then you can be heard on air. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, thank you everyone again for joining us. I would also like to mention that tonight's show is partially brought to you by American Resale Shop, which is located at 8241 North Broadway in St. Louis, Missouri. And their phone number is 314-803-9739. They specialize in resale, like their title says, vacuums, lawnmowers, clothing, purses, shoes, electronics, stereos, radios, mixers, blenders, etc., phone cases, heaters, furniture, and much, much more. Great deals. They would like for you to come by and visit them soon. Yes, so tonight we are privileged in having a new phone line so we don't have to deal with the static and the breakups of the cell phone, which is what we usually have to deal with. So shout out to the system people who made that happen tonight. So today is September 1st, 2016. We are nearing the end of the year, which is amazing. You know, we've been doing this for quite some time now. I mean, it's coming up on, I think, almost a year now. We have to look at our dates, but yes. So tonight, let's see, tonight we are welcoming the author of The Mocha Manual to Turning Your Passion into Profit, How to Find and Grow Your Side Hustle in Any Economy. That author's name is Miss Kimberly Seals Allers, and I'm so excited to have her on. I actually checked her book out from the library before, and I held it hostage. I had a lot of fines because I didn't turn it in and never finished reading it, but I was like, oh my goodness, I gotta have that book, and finally went ahead and turned it in. So I did the same thing about, I would say, 2 months ago. So I held the book hostage for a very long time. I went in and I told the people I was holding the book hostage. I was like, look, I checked out a lot of books. I'm trying to get around to reading it, and I will turn it in when I turn it in. And the librarian was like, okay, well, whatever. So I got the bright idea that instead of paying library fines, the light went on, just go ahead and order it from Amazon. So I did. I ordered it from Amazon, so now I have the copy myself in my library, and I'm so excited and so happy to have it because this book definitely speaks directly to the entrepreneur. Even if you are already doing business or you've been in business before, I mean, it's just such a great book. Let's see. You know, again, it's about turning your passion into profit. You know, your passion can change, so you know, when your passion changes, you definitely need some reminders on how to do business. Let's see here. So let's talk about the book a little bit. The table of contents, of course, the introduction. Excuse my cell phone. It's feeling a little rejected now because I don't need it anymore for the radio. But, yeah. So in the table of contents here, we have, let's see, you can turn your side hustle into the life of your dreams, reclaim your passion and purpose, side hustle success from the streets to satin. She has personal stories from people who have started from nothing, which is great. Fit matters, how to find the perfect business match. Side hustle success story number two, a street grows in Brooklyn. Chapter 3, Will It Work? How to Properly Research and Test Your Business Idea. We know research is important. We like to just jump into things sometimes, but you have to research. Let's see. Side Hustle Success Story 3, The Crossword Queen, Jan Buckner Walker. Let's see. Other Path to Entrepreneurship is Chapter 4, Buying a Business and Franchises, which we spoke on that before. We talked to the gentleman who owned the UPS store in Ferguson, Missouri, so it'll be good to get into that chapter. Side Hustle Success Story number 4, From Film Production to Food Production. Entrepreneur 101, 8 Essential Business Skills for Success. Side Hustle Success Story number 5, From High School Dropout to Terminal Takeoff. I love that story, and it's about Gina Stern. She's the owner of Departure Spa, which is a spa. She got permission to open her spa in the airport. You know, how many times do you pass a business and you wonder how they actually got it started? And I wondered about that just this last time that I flew. I think I was in Chicago. I want to say Chicago. I saw a spa in the airport. But, yeah, I mean, that was excellent. Let's see. Chapter 6, Spread the Word, Building Your Brand, Creating Buzz, and Marketing Your Business. Side Hustle Success Story number 6, In Style, Monique Greenwood, owner of the Aquaba Bed and Breakfast Chain. And then Chapter 7, Crank It Up, How to Take Your Business to the Next Level. And the number 7 story, The Million Dollar Lady, Sandy Webster, co-founder of Consultants to Go. Chapter 8, Take the Leap, How to Transition from Employee to Full-Time Entrepreneur. And I'm actually going to jump straight to that because I think that's a place where a lot of people are still stuck. That's a good place to start because people just can't see living without that paycheck. And Kimberly herself can give you that story that and how she did that. Let's see, Side Hustle Success Story number 8, The Fashionista, Tony Scott Grant, president of Scott Free & Company. Chapter 9, Getting Personal, Take Charge of Your Business and Your Life. And then, let's see, Side Hustle Success Story number 9, The Brainiac, Sharon Sauls, President and CEO of Sky Neurological Rehabilitation. And then, like, at page 269, she does a wonderful thing where she is providing you sample documents. And that's great because, you know, sometimes we have no idea how these things look. Even if you Google or whatever, it's good to have a sample right before you even get all the information you need. To have that sample is, like, really key. And then, of course, the appendix. So I, again, really, really, really like this book. I'm so happy to have it. Let's see here. So we're going to get into it because we're at 12 minutes into our first hour, and our guest comes on at 10 after, so I'm not really sure where she is. Kim, press the star 6 and 1 so that we can see that you are here. And listeners, if you would like to dial in and talk with us, just dial in at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound. Press the star 6 and 1 if you'd like to be heard. Okay, I see that we have a question mark raised, so let's see if this is our guest. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, it's Kimberly Seals-Allers.
Oh, hello, Kimberly. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I am excellent. First of all, let me just tell you thank you for joining us tonight. We are ever so grateful to be graced by your presence.
Oh, thank you very much. It's my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, as I was talking to our guests, I was, letting them know, a little bit of information on the book. We have a lot of busy people, whether they're working a 9 to 5 or if they're entrepreneurs. A lot of people don't really find time to read, and so they kind of just don't. So I like to bring more enlightenment to books that can help people in their endeavors to entrepreneurship. Or if they're already entrepreneurs, just give them great leads on books that I find interesting. And yours is at the top of the list. So, again, thank you for
writing this
book.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, you used to work for Essence, I think?
Yes, I'm a journalist by trade, so I was a writer at Fortune magazine for many years. I worked at the New York Post, where I covered Wall Street. I worked in London at the Times. I was sent there for a few years to work at the newspaper there, and later became a senior editor at Essence. And so that was really, my last job, and I loved the work, really enjoyed. Obviously, as a black female, being a senior editor at Essence and working at such an amazing brand, a brand that many of us grew up with and, grew up reading, was like a dream come true. And really, for me, entrepreneurship was about kind of creating the life that I wanted for myself. At the time, I was going through a divorce and was really struggling with maintaining my very demanding career and yet being there for my children through this, kind of difficult transition time. So that was really my catalyst. I really felt like I needed to be present for my children, to be there with them in this transition in our family. And I just could not figure out how to be the mother that I wanted to be while kind of engaging in this very demanding but amazing, kind of role. So, that was really it, and it was really interesting because so many people would say, oh, my God, like, who leaves a great job, a six-figure job, to kind of start their own business, at a time when most people were saying, hey, this is the time you need a steady salary. You need that direct deposit every Thursday, which I totally loved. People thought I was crazy to think about this time. But for me, the risk of not kind of taking this opportunity to kind of be the person I wanted to be in all facets of my life was greater to me than the risk of, what walking away from that amazing job was. So, these are the things that entrepreneurs kind of, deal with every day in making those decisions and why it is so tough and perhaps not for everybody.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Now, I believe that everybody has something in them, some sort of creativity, but I think that sometimes we listen to the naysayers instead of listening to our inner voice, and that's how you end up being that person that is regretting things later on in life. You feel like coulda, shoulda, woulda, when you have the perfect. Unfulfilled, and we want to definitely make sure that this information is available to our listeners to kind of give them that great inspiration to carry on. I mean, of course, there is a segue that can happen from a 9-to-5 into the entrepreneurial experience. Can you speak to that? How would one do that?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, I think that so many times when we hear the stories of people, we think of it always as a, you know, a big leap. And to be honest, that wasn't something I was comfortable with. I basically had a 12-month transition plan that was, you know, kind of something that I worked on in terms of my finances and reducing debt and kind of setting, you know, building my business. And it was a real conscious decision. And I actually set my quit date in my, you know, little Palm Pilot at the time many years ago and started working backwards. I basically reverse engineered a strategy to be able to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish by that date. And that also meant personal sacrifices. I mean, I sat down, you know, I spoke to my girlfriends and my family and said, listen, you know, I'm not going to really be able to socialize. My weekends are going to be about building my brand. I am, you know, working for myself on these dates. And, you know, I'm not going to be available. Don't take it personally. But this is the time I'm dedicating to kind of getting my business started so I can make this transition. You know, the same thing with my children. I sat down with them and said, you know, this is the plan, you know. I'm really trying to be here for you, and this is what it's going to take, and this is what it looks like in terms of we're not going on vacation this year, and, you know, we may not be able to eat out as much as we used to, and, you know, really was clear with them about what the sacrifices were, so they understood that. I said, but in the end, what you will get is I will be at the bus stop, right, mm-hmm. and I will be able to pick you up, and if you rather vacation than me being there every day, tell me now. And every time they chose me, right, they always chose for me to kind of be present and not for me to kind of be away but having things. So, you know, so that plan really started for me in terms of reducing debt, in terms of looking at where I could reduce my expenses, building up my savings, and then also really laying the foundation for my work with my brand, building the website, building up my content, like working on it every weekend with clear intention and a plan. And I think I missed my quit date by, like, about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And those 2 weeks I was kicking myself, but I really was focused on having a plan and not just thinking of something that we just jump into and we haven't really planned properly, because that is a key area of failure where we start businesses but we can't maintain them because we didn't do the planning first.
Mm. Yeah, planning is important. Because many of us do just kind of, you know, I think we want to a lot of times mimic someone else. I see that a lot on the internet, you know, because, of course, on Facebook they offer a lot of courses. There are people telling you that you can do this and you can do that. But I don't see any of them telling you to plan. You do need to plan because this is a transition in your life and income will change. So you definitely would have to plan in order to make this change. That's very important. I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah, and I think also in our community, we may not have as many fallbacks and safety nets as other people may have, right? So mm-hmm. if I fail, you know, I can't call my parents and say, hey, can you pay my mortgage? And, you know, like, we just don't necessarily, by and large, have all those other fallbacks that other people may have, or those connections, or, you know, whatever. So, so it's really important for us to make sure that when we kind of step out on the course that we're prepared. And that doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't going to be setbacks even with planning. I mean, you know, there are going to be challenges and slim pickings and feast and famine, all those things that come with the journey of entrepreneurship. But the best you can do to mitigate that, because I find that many of us don't have, you know, a lot of other things to fall back on, the better it can be in terms of kind of setting yourself up for success.
Absolutely.
Hey, Cece, how's it going?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah,
my co-host is
okay,
on
though,
the line. Robert 11X Miner, meet Miss Kimberly Seals Allers.
Hey, Miss Kimberly, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. A little late starting or getting to the show, but, you know, business is always needs to be taken care of, so that's what I was doing. But I heard you say something in reference to dealing with the children, excuse me, the children being at the bus stop. They chose mom over, you know, vacationing. And I didn't hear the other completed part of that story. So I'm assuming that you did this, you made this leap or planned to make this leap as a single mom.
Well, yeah, no, what I was saying was I was going through a divorce at the time, and that was actually my catalyst for thinking about, you know, leaving my job, you know, my career, which was very demanding. I was a senior editor at Essence, and so it was very timed, you know, very demanding of my time, late nights, travel, and so, you know, which is an amazing opportunity, but obviously faced with divorce and my children really only having one parent in the home at that point, it was really imperative for me to try to figure out how I can be more present with them during that transition. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, and this is definitely a good roadmap for those people who are aspiring to become an entrepreneur and they're working a job and need to know how do they transition off that job and to this lifestyle of being an entrepreneur. So the information definitely, I'm sure, is needed. I jumped, dove right into it. It was not, you know, something that I thought that I would do as immediate, but due to the situation that I was in at the time, going through the court system here in the United States in St. Louis, I knew after I got through with that that there was just not a good chance for me to land that quote-unquote good job. So I jump right into entrepreneurship. And a lot of people, a lot of people don't have that the know-it-all or the wherewithal to actually do that. And ironically, I only had $70 to start. So I mean, if I could do it over, of course, I would do it differently. But I heard I recently heard Mark Cuban make a comment on a YouTube post. I think it was an interview that he was in, and he said, which you know I've never got a loan, but he said that any business person that actually gets a loan to start a business, in his opinion, he said was a moron, and you know, I said that's a bit extreme, but Mark Cuban always goes to the extreme when he makes certain comments. But I never got a loan, quote unquote, and it has definitely been from the ground up type of stuff. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on starting a business? Should you have your own funding? Should you look for funding? Is there a difference when you start it from the ground up, you build it from nothing to having something? And what do you think about that?
Well, I think that really depends. That's a great point. I mean, I think it really depends on the type of business that you're starting. If you're starting a service-oriented business, then you may not need a loan. You really just need to really market yourself, right? And the beauty of the internet and social media is that it's a great equalizer, which allows, you know, everyone to get in front of everyone else if you want to, you know, if you can invest the time in marketing for yourself. However, if your big idea is a product that you need to bring to market and you need money to do that, then that's a very different kind of proposition than someone who's starting a consulting business or, you know, something else.
Right.
You know, so I think a lot of that is more dependent on the type of business you're looking to do. Certainly taking on debt is, you know, something that everyone should consider very seriously. You know, read all the fine print. You know, even some of the SBA loans and things like that will require you to kind of put up your house, so to speak, and, you know, use your own assets. So it's not something to be taken lightly. And, you know, I would certainly kind of pursue all other opportunities. But sometimes your idea is so big that that's what it's going to take for it to get to market. And if that is the case and you've done the research and you've done your business plan and you've done the market analysis and all those other things and all you need is capital to make this product work, then you should go get the capital to make your product work. So, you know, it's, it certainly varies by situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I like the...
I like the fact that this book actually does kind of give you that roadmap, because, again, you know, a lot of people don't know where to start, especially in the age of the internet. You know, I may be on Facebook and I see that someone is offering a program. But if I'm not ready, or if I'm not in a place to actually start that program, because I don't even know that I was supposed to, let's say, license my business, you know, I could just totally be thrown off or blindsided and just kind of get lost in the shuffle as far as my business is concerned, you know, concerning procedure. So I really, really like this book because, again, I mean, it's such a great guideline for the one that knows nothing and for the one that thinks that they know everything. And everybody in between also.
Thank you so much for that. And I think what's so interesting about the book is, like, you know, going back to what I was saying before about the type of your business. In some businesses, your ideas are your product, right? Your product is not a widget. It's not something necessarily that can be picked up and put on a shelf, but it is your thoughts and ideas. And how do you manage and protect that intellectual property, which is certainly one of the first steps. I find that many entrepreneurs, particularly of color, they are so afraid of someone, quote-unquote, stealing their idea that they don't talk about it with other people, and sometimes they miss out on valuable information, feedback, and or, you know, kind of direction and how they can actually protect that idea. You know, I'm more of the mindset that if someone could steal what I'm doing, then it's, you know, perhaps wasn't as genius as I thought it was, and that also you should have a trusted circle, right? There are people that you know, and you should, you know, you should have a trusted circle and of confidants and advisors, but it's very dangerous when ideas exist only in our head, and we don't get feedback from others, and we don't let it breathe, and that we feel like everyone is going to steal. I mean, that's just not the kind of energy that I like to create from. But on the same token, you know, there are very important things that entrepreneurs must do and learn about intellectual property, trademarking names, you know, how do you document ideas, how do you kind of, you know, do that, and that's very, very important as well. But I do have a lot of concern when a lot of people are, you know, working on something, but they're afraid to share it, and they're afraid to steal, and people stealing it, and that kind of mentality can be counterproductive at times.
You know, I like that information because it kind of reminds me of a speech with Les Brown that I heard, you know, and he said the richest place is the graveyard. I'm paraphrasing, but that's true, because I think a lot of times, like you said, we are very afraid of letting our idea get out or sharing with somebody, thinking that they are going to steal it. I mean, they may steal it, but what I like to say is, whatever God blessed you with, he blessed you with, and he'll bless you with more. That person that's stealing, they have to continue to steal. But we have to take a short break, everyone. You're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network, and this is BIB Radio, and we'll be back with you in just a second.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody. Okay.
Hey, CC. Hey, Robert. And greetings to your guests as well. Great information.
Yes, thank you. Kimberly, that's Scotty Reed, the CEO of Black Talk Radio Network, Mr. Scotty Reed. We're
going
to have him
How
on the
you?
Show here. We're going to have him on the show here soon so he can talk to us about his entrepreneurial journey, too, because I was just thinking about that today. My goodness. You know, we are just so, our people are so ingenious and so blessed. And all it takes sometimes is for somebody to let you know that it's okay for you to venture out and come outside of what everyone considers normal. And Scotty is definitely one of those people. He's actually built his own social media network that I guess you could compare to like Facebook or whatever, but we're definitely trying to get that going. And he is just definitely the one to know in black radio. So that's Scotty. He's in the background. He's our engineer.
Okay, great.
Yes. So everyone listening, you can dial in at 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549032 pound. If you'd like to be heard, press *6 and 1. We have a lot of people on the line. I'm not sure if they would like to ask a question, but if you do want to ask a question, feel free to definitely press that *6 and 1 so we can get you in, everyone. We are talking to the author of the Mocha Manual, to Turning Your Passion into Profit, How to Find and Grow Your Side Hustle in Any Economy, Ms. Kimberly Seals Allers. She is formerly an employee at Essence Magazine, and she decided to go out on her own and start her business outside of the fact that everyone was telling her that she shouldn't do it. She went ahead and did it anyway. And you all know that every week we are encouraging you to exercise your right to venture into your passion, you know, and perhaps turn it into a business. So she's here to actually help us give you that information. So, Kimberly, now with this book, I mean, because we have a lot of people listening that would like to write a book also. I have a friend, I think she's listening now. She's written a book, and she wanted to know, she may be shy, but she wanted to know, how in the world do you get your book out there as far as, like, in magazines? How do you get recognized?
Mm-hmm. Those are great questions. So there are two things. The book that you're referring to, The Mocha Manual, to Turning Your Passion to Profit, is the number two in my three-book series published by HarperCollins. So The Mocha Manual series contains three books, the first being The Mocha Manual to a Fabulous Pregnancy, The Mocha Manual to Turning Your Passion into Profit, which we're talking about now, and then the third book in that series is The Mocha Manual to Military Life, which was a guidebook for female service members and wives. So The Mocha Manual itself, my business concept was to really create the dummy series, but for women of color, right? So the dummy series, as we know, can be about anything from buying a house to, you know, starting your own Facebook page. So the idea that I would create these Mocha Manuals on various topics, you know, usually focus on critical periods in people's lives, unique experiences at times when they need kind of targeted advice for women of color. So that was really the kind of the business model behind the Mocha Manual series. I was fortunate, you know, being a journalist, having friends who were authors, you know, I was fortunate to be able to have people who could help guide me through the process. So, and also to say that, you know, kind of getting your book out there when you're published by a major publisher versus being self-published is two different things. However, they're increasingly becoming similar. And I say that to say that my publisher, my fifth book is about to come out in January, and my publisher still expects me to participate actively in marketing that book. However, when you're at a publisher, you will be assigned a publicist, and that person is responsible for at least, you know, a certain number of weeks of making calls on your behalf and contacting television shows and things like that. So, you know, if you're with a publisher, a small part of that responsibility will fall on their shoulders, and they will expect you to, you know, do your part and participate. Think about your networks. Who do you know? You know, who do your friends know? Who might be able to get you out there? The other thing that I say, particularly for those who are self-published and are kind of using their own marketing, is, you know, like I said before, the internet is a great equalizer. So how can videos, a short video, how can it be used to market? How do you, you know, use Facebook? Facebook ads are really effective, and they're not that expensive. You know, maybe that's an avenue you can do. How are you thinking about building up your Twitter following on social media to really be able to market your book? You know, what are the avenues available to you, and how do you make that happen? You know, for me, because of my advocacy work, I do a lot of advocacy work around breastfeeding and infant health. So I travel a lot for speaking engagements, and so I use my speaking engagements also as a platform for talking about my books, perhaps promoting my books or having a book reading or signing of some sort. So what else are you doing that you can connect your book promotion to, right? So if people are asking you to come talk about something else, how do you say, hey, great, I'll do that, but I'd also love to talk about my book? So what are you doing that could also kind of be a segue to what you're doing. The other thing that I advise people is, who else cares about what you're talking about? Sometimes, you know, we have to do what I call walking with a tiger. Who's bigger than you but may care about the topic that you're writing about and thinking about, and how might they be interested in supporting you and your work? How can you get connected to them and use that platform as a way to amplify your work? So, again, it's really kind of being creative and thinking about all the different ways that you can try to get yourself out there.
Okay, well, we have a question, so
sure.
Would you mind answering?
No, not at all. I'm happy to answer.
Perfect. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line?
This is Sandra Tedford. How are you this evening, Cece?
Hi, Sandra.
Hello, and Kimberly, thank you for sharing this wonderful information. I've learned so much from what you've shared, and it's very valuable. I'm definitely going to implement a lot of the things that you've shared thus far.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you. And I have a question. I was wondering, what has been your experience? Have you done joint ventures? Because I know you just spoke to, you know, finding out who's bigger than you and who's actually doing work in the space that you want to get involved in, or you're trying to carve out a niche for yourself. Have you done joint ventures with any of those individuals? And if so, what are some of the takeaways from doing joint ventures? I mean, how do you make that work for yourself as well as, you know, making sure that you're offering something of value to the person that you're working with?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I mean, a lot of my partnership opportunities, you know, I would say that they were basically mutually beneficial partnership opportunities. You know, the most important thing is being clear what you want out of the partnership, right? So there are times when you may find an organization that has a tremendous reach, may have a great voice, but may not have the money to, let's say, you know, sponsor you for a 5-city tour. But they have an impressive email marketing list. Like, are they willing to send out, you know, something about your book to email? So, again, it's really about kind of being clear about what you want from the partnership and, you know, being willing to negotiate. And for me, I've always been open to considering alternate forms of currency, right? So because of what is of value to me at that particular time. So if they have a strong email list, then how do I, you know, how can we partner so that I could be included in that? You know, if they are an organization that's more about on-the-ground presence, how can I be involved if they come in my city and every other city that I could reasonably drive to, right? So what does that mm-hmm. look like? You know, so it really is about being creative, but certainly I think that the biggest downfall many people have is reaching out and asking someone to say, hey, can we partner on this issue?
Right.
Also, I would say the more formal joint venture that I had was when my first book, The Mocha Manual to Fabulous Pregnancy, was turned into a DVD that is available at Walmart. And so really that was more of a formal joint venture where I paired up with a production company. I actually licensed use of the name, The Mocha Manual, because I own the trademark for that. And so in those kind of arrangements, it's a little bit different around making sure that your business agreements are you know, clear, making sure that you have the professional staff, whether that's a lawyer or an accountant, to review those documents, to perhaps give you some support there. So on that mm-hmm. side, it's a different level of getting some professional support. But I would say for, you know, on the other side, on the marketing side, think about each of your goals, right? So if you kind of look at, you know, whether it's print, whether it's kind of live events, whether it's like social media, who could help you get to each of those areas, you know, really start listing them out, thinking about who you know, who your friends know to help you make that happen, and then really naming organizations in each of those areas that might be able to support you and reaching out to them.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sandra, for calling in. Call back anytime, okay?
Thank you.
All righty. So, again, everyone, you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. Our show is called BIB Radio. We are talking to Ms. Kimberly Seals-Allers. She is the author of The Mocha Manual to Turning Your Passion into Profit. How to Find and Grow Your Side Hustle in Any Economy. I feel I have to read the whole title because it's just, you know,
I appreciate that.
It may engage people like they need to be engaged. It, who knows? But if you'd like to call in, it's 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549-032 pound. If you would like to speak, press star 6 and the number 1 so that you can be heard. Now, I mean, I said in the beginning, like, I kind of held the book for hostage, you know, from the library. They probably didn't appreciate that. They definitely didn't mind fining me for it. Now, with this book, this was written, when was this written? Let me see. This is 2009?
Yeah.
Okay, 2009. It's not that long ago. But would you say that if you did like a part two, what would you add? Or I mean, is that going to be in your next book? I don't want to like have you put that, you know, out there if it's going to be in your next book. But, you know, from 2009 to now, I'm thinking
right.
that, you know, after a while we think, okay, well, I wish I could have put that in the book. Is there anything like that that you can think of?
Well, certainly, absolutely. And certainly, you know, the internet and social media landscape has changed so much, you know, whereas it used to be kind of a add-on thing, but now it becomes the first thing, you know, in terms of thinking about your social media presence. And there are still people, you know, my friends who are trying to get book deals or whatever, and the first thing people are asking them is how many Twitter followers you have, right? So it's becoming more about your platform than it is about your ideas, because everybody has ideas. The question is, can you market them, you know? So certainly being focused on the marketing in addition to your ideas is really, really important. Social media has changed so much in terms of its relevance in, you know, how people get ahead. Video, obviously, being really huge. You know, who knew cats could be so powerful? So just, you know, kind of rethinking what marketing looks like in 2016 is so different than, you know, kind of some of the more traditional avenues that were kind of more common at that time. And, I mean, in terms of other things that I think have changed, I think that would be the biggest one. What I love about the Mocha Manual series in general is that it always, it always uses stories. I mean, so, you know, I'm a journalist by trade, so reporting and researching and getting real stories from real people is still central to what I've been doing for two decades. So those stories of women, I think, are timeless, and I think that they always ring true because they're about overcoming challenges and they're about kind of nurturing great ideas and, you know, kind of defying stereotypes. So I think that is also still very, very real for right now as well.
Right, absolutely. I don't think that those things change, and it always resonates with someone in one way or another. And, you know, and you may be like a, quote, regular person, and then you read this story about a person that had an extreme struggle, and you're like, wait a minute, that person overcame that? What am I doing? I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I can't because of blah, blah, blah. But this person overcame drug addiction. They overcame, like, so many different things, and now they have a multi-million-dollar product, and I'm sitting here thinking I can't do it. Sure, I can do it. But I think it's very important that you develop a support system, of course. You talked about that. Sometimes it's not your family, and people think that, you know, it should be your family. Well, it probably should, but sometimes it's not, and that is another place where networking comes in, even on social media. I mean, there are so many different groups. There's meetup.com. There are Facebook groups, you know, that people just sometimes don't even realize that those things are available. There are people ready to support your idea. They're ready to emotionally help you evolve out of that place of nothingness. And that's what I like because, you know, I consider myself a master networker. One of my Facebook pages is Miss Cece the Infopreneur because I'm just full of information. I love gathering information. I love networking. But that is where I find my greatest support, believe it or not, is like with strangers that I don't even know. And then when I find somebody that's kind of like me, I'm like, oh, my goodness, that person is who I need in my life. They're very, you know, supportive and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's really, really good. And speaking of networking, I looked in the back and I saw that you put George Frazier in the book. And I have gone to Power Networking three times in the past.
Wow.
Yeah, a few years. Yeah, so I'm connected to George in that way. I actually promoted a couple of commercials for Power Networking 2015. Yeah, 2015. And so I'm very, very excited to be a part of that group of people because those are, you know, some very progressive people who definitely have some support systems in place to help Black people do what they need to do as far as entrepreneurship.
One of the things that is so important, I mean, and you spoke to this, is about knowing who you are, like knowing your strengths.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that I always say is the first business enterprise is you, right? So whoever you are, that's who you're going to be in business, right? So if you're a procrastinator, that's probably how you're going to be running your business, you know. If you're a person who, you know, kind of puts off things to the last minute or, you know, you kind of sit on ideas and you don't move into action, like whoever you are, that's who you're going to be because the first business enterprise is always you. And so it's very, very important. I go through this in the book. The first thing we all should do is really take a self-assessment because having an honest appraisal of your strengths and your weaknesses and to say, you know, listen, I mean, I have become very clear about what I'm not good at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm aware of that, then I build my team to support those weaknesses so I could focus on my strengths, right? And that's part of how I can become successful. So, but if we're kind of, you know, not being honest with ourselves about the things that we're good at and things we're not good at, then we're going to end up damaging our business success. And then also, if we haven't dealt with the self, you know, if there are issues that we have that may breed dishonest, you know, distrust or, you know, anger or just kind of, you know, energy that can be detrimental to business, then we have to deal with that, you know, because particularly in entrepreneurship, like if you work for somebody else and you're around 50, 100 other people, that, you know, those issues can get clouded and covered over and, you know, kind of masked out by other people. But when it is just you, those things will be amplified and they will come to bite you in the bum eventually. So I always encourage people to be clear about who they are and even, you know, their weaknesses, which is perfectly fine. We all have them. And the idea is that that's where you build your support. You know, some people are great at networking. Some people are not. Some people are really good at execution. Some people are just really good at big ideas, you know. So, again, just getting clear about who you are, because in entrepreneurship, who you are is who your business will be.
You know, that's funny. We're just talking about George Frazier, and he says, how you do anything is how you do everything, or how you do everything is how you do anything. And that's so true. It's so true, and you do need to recognize those things. Now, I do a little bit of coaching, not to minimize it because it is a little bit of coaching, leading people off of their job. And that is I talk to them about being real with themselves. You know, we do a couple of assessments to kind of find out where they are. I give them homework, and I meet with them once a week. But it's about finding out who you are, why you want to do this, you know, what do you expect from this this entrepreneurial venture, you know. And, you know, I think it's really good for people because we all, like you said, have great ideas. But are you going to execute it? Are you going to put everything forth that it takes? Are you willing to do this if you're just a one-man band at first? You know, it takes a whole lot. And, you know, a lot of us are just kind of shoved into it by circumstance. You know, I was definitely shoved into entrepreneurship by circumstance. Robert definitely was shoved into it by circumstance. You definitely were, you know, shoved into it by circumstance. But some people are just on their job, and they're thinking, okay, I want to do something else. But it's important for them when they're at that stage to say, okay, where am I?
Yeah, that's really important. That's really important. And to be that honest, one of the things I did want to say is I think the downside of social media and the internet and, you know, kind of the way that we are with sharing our lives is, you know, the pressure to look good, right? So everybody on Facebook looks wonderful. Nobody has any problems. Everybody's business is booming. And that
right.
can really create a pressure to not be authentic about the challenges that you're really having. And so many people are actually having challenges in their business, but they're stuck in looking good and creating the appearance looking good, which prevents them from getting help that they actually need. And that is very, very dangerous. You know, I mean, we have to have authentic spaces to be real about, you know, both the triumphs and the challenges of entrepreneurship, and that we're not just creating a inauthentic kind of representation of who we are, because I don't think that's going to work, and it certainly won't have any long-term success. So it's really hard, and a lot of people talk to me about it. You know, many people who are looking very good on Facebook mm-hmm. but are actually struggling and having challenges but don't feel that they can be honest about that. So that is certainly the downside, and I want to encourage everyone to, you know, to kind of be clear about creating a place for you to get challenges, because people are looking good and falling fast, and that's not a way to sustain a business.
I
got a question
right.
for you, sister. How do you form that team that you need? You know, when you say what you said earlier about forming that team, because that has been for me a very challenging thing. When you like for myself, I'm always in the past. I've always been at the business. I was 7 days a week. Almost 12 hours a day for the most part. So there was no social time other than those customers that come into the store. So, and I found myself struggling even today with actually growing a business. So I heard you mention about forming that team. You know, so how do you, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
How is that done?
Well, for me, you know, I mean, you know, so there's two levels to my team, right? Obviously, the professional team, which may include credentials such as lawyers, accountants, you know, those professional services. And for those, you know, I really rely on referrals. You know, I have made use of the small business administration offices here in New York where they, you know, give referrals, you know, really going to trusted sources to get referrals and things like that. You know, on the advisory side, you know, I really have reached out. One, you know, the same way that when I was a journalist, right, and I was coming up and I was in college and I was at NYU and they would tell me to, like, call people and see if they would mentor you. You know, I've reached out to successful entrepreneurs, you know, people that may have been in my network or kind of connected to my network, someone who I knew, who knew them, and asked, you know, them to serve in an advisory capacity, and things like that. So some of it has been organic. You know, obviously, through my work, you know, I've met a lot of great people. Being a business journalist for many years has given me a good level of contacts in the business world, so I've drawn upon those. But really just not being afraid to reach out to people and saying, hey, I love what you're doing. I admire it. This is what I'm doing. Would you be willing to kind of be on my advisory committee? And here's what I can do for you. You know, not making it a one-way conversation, but offering myself to kind of, you know, support them and what may be important to them. So, again, just really not being afraid to reach out to people. And, again, using referrals when I can. And then, you know, kind of being open, just being open to people who come into my path.
And the one thing, and you said another thing that I mean, you said a whole lot that I totally agree with. But one thing that really stood out in the last 5 minutes about people looking good on Facebook, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's not being 100% honest with yourself. If you're fronting on Facebook to look good, but you're actually not doing as well, then you're actually lying to yourself, and that's a serious problem for anybody. That's whether you're an entrepreneur or whatever it is in life. That's not good at all, you know.
Sure, you're right, and you're blocking yourself from people who legitimately help you. Like if you actually said, "Hey, I'm kind of struggling with this issue. I'm hitting a low point," you would be surprised at all the people who would probably come to support you and say, hey, what can I do? Or I know somebody. You know, like I said, being willing to put yourself out there and to say, hey, I'm looking for help in this area. I'm looking for someone who has expertise in marketing. I'm really struggling with my, you know, with my internet marketing. Do you know any, like, being honest, you would just be so surprised at the response that you will get if you just get over that fear of showing that vulnerability and that need, and then, you know, kind of being open to what comes your way.
And like that, for myself personally, okay, now, I haven't had a job in 21 years. Now, a lot of people, they, oh, man, that's really, really good. I say, well, that's good, and I'm very grateful. But now, in 21 years, I have not been able to personally take my entrepreneurial experience to the next level. I'm very, very knowledgeable about what it is that I, information about entrepreneurial different products. I travel to trade shows. I do all of that. You know, I know a lot of that industry language in certain industries. But now, when it comes to actually taking the hustle and turning it into a business, I just heard something that you said, going to the Small Business Administration or seeking the counsel of those who have made it successful, because there are some brothers out here, sisters out here, like myself, who have great skills and ability to be able to maneuver and have a real nice lifestyle, but never go to the next level. And at this stage in my life, that's where I know I should be, at the next level. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to find how to get to that next level.
Well,
you could say that most people that you meet that's entrepreneurs who are great at hustling, because you need to have that hustle spirit regardless to what level you're on. I look at Donald Trump's, you know, I'm not talking about the presidential Donald Trump, but
right.
in the business,
that.
I'm talking Mark Cuban, all these guys, Russell Simmons, Sean Puffy Combs, Damian Dash, all these guys have a hustle about themselves that is something to be looked at and applauded, but yet they transition into a Fortune 500, a multi-billion-dollar company. And that's what I need to know. What is it that we're doing wrong as entrepreneurs that are not allowing us to get to that point?
Well, hold on. Before we answer the question, let's go into our commercial break. Dial in at 641-715-3660. Participant code 549032 pound, *6 and 1 if you'd like to be heard by our guest. We will be back with you in just a moment.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, everyone, you're listening to BIB Radio, which is housed on the Black Talk Radio Network. Again, our dial-in number is 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549-032 pound. If you'd like to be heard, press *6 and 1, and you could feel free to call in and ask our guests any questions that you may have about opening your business or progressing into your passion of entrepreneurship. Her name is Miss Kimberly Seals Allers, and she is the author of The Mocha Manual to Turning Your Passion into Profit, How to Find and Grow Your Side Hustle in Any Economy. Now, Robert, you were talking about elevating to the next level, and Kimberly, you were about to answer him. So let's go ahead and allow that.
Yeah, that's such a great question and perspective, Robert. You know, one of the things that I feel has blessed me in my own business career, entrepreneurship career, is the fact that I was a business journalist for many, many years, and at Fortune I got to interview some great captains of industry, and, you know, I have gone to amazing places and met, you know, the CEO of Starbucks, and, you know, when it just started, and just having that time. And one of the things that always struck me, right, and I'm talking mostly about white male entrepreneurs, is that they were not afraid to invest in themselves. And let me tell you what I mean. One thing that I think that we suffer with is around the power of relationships. My observation has been that many of the people who moved to the next level was more about their relationships than their hustle, right? And in fact, many times they have very little hustle and just really focus on their relationships, because that's really how businesses are done. And I think that in a way, and I want to say this with sensitivity and respect, in the way that we have as black people been almost delusioned into thinking that if we work hard, if we went to the right schools, if we kind of did that, that we would finally arrive and we would earn our respect. Like, some of the ways we're recognizing that, that doesn't necessarily ring true. And so I think in the entrepreneurship world, we kind of feel like, well, if I work this hard and if I do this and if I've, and it doesn't necessarily ring true when we're not focusing on relationships. And so what I have seen for the people who make it to the next level, they have made significant investments in creating their relationships. Like, what does that look like? So for my number of my friends who, instead of saying, I'm going to take $1,000 to put out Facebook ads, is going to say, I'm going to put in $1,000 and join this country club, because I know what happens on the golf course, you know, with these type of people. I'm going to invest this $3,000 in getting access to this very exclusive retreat of, you know, investors, because that's where I need to be. And if $3,000 is all I have, I'm investing in myself at the chance at building relationships, right? And I think that we have an attachment to hard work because that's who we are, and that's so much a part of, you know, where we came from. And, you know, my dad worked in a factory and put me through college. Like, we have a strong attachment to hard work. And sometimes we don't want to see that sometimes it's really about the relationships. And in business, that is often how things get done. And so we are investing time in the hard work, and as you call it, the hustle. But at times we need to figure out, what's the relationship that I need? Like, who are the people that I need to be in relationship with for me to get to that level? And how do I get there? Mm. I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, when you said that, I have a partner who I speak of mostly all the time when it comes to business, and he had got a lump sum of money, over $10,000+, from some property that was sold out of his family, and he took the $10,000 and he put it into his campaign. He ran for governor of Nevada in the last race, and I said, wow, you took the whole 10 and threw it in your campaign? He said, yeah. He said, the relationships I built are greater than the $10,000 I spent.
I believe him.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Trust me, there's no doubt about it. And he said just what you said. That's an investment in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you said that, I got all of that. It just connected to what he was saying about that $10,000, because a lot of people would have took that $10,000. I know I would have been at some trade shows for sure. That's what I do. But even at the trade shows, you know, you're rubbing elbows with multi-million billionaire CEOs from all over the world, you know. And now my new, from this day forward, my perspective now when I go to the trade shows, it's not just about merchandise. It's more about the relationships.
And then also, you think about, I mean, trade shows are places, like, what you really want in the relationship is exclusivity, right? So trade shows are great, and, you know, but other people are there. Like, you're one person. I've done them a lot, like when we did product. but you're still one person among hundreds, and, you know, you may meet other people, and they've met 100 people. Would you really, you know, in using that scenario as an example, like, how do you get to that meeting, that dinner that happened before the trade show started? How do you get to that reception where you have more of an intimate opportunity to talk to decision makers and those who have money? You know, so again, even in that realm of whatever you're doing, how do you get to the level of exclusivity where people are, where the real decision makers are in a more intimate environment? Putting yourself in those places where I believe real relationships are made, and that you can make real connections with people in a more kind of intimate setting. And a lot of those things are happening all the time. We're not always invited, and, you know, kind of figuring out how you get into those places has been very, beneficial, successful, lucrative for, you know, the people that I see do it well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. That's very, very good information, sister, that you shared, and I appreciate that.
I have a question.
Like I said, we have to find a way to take what it is that we do well to the next level. There was a part in your book that I read as I was, you know, skimming through the book that you said, and I definitely agree, because I look at myself when I read it. I said, man, that's me. You know, I'm a one-man show, and I for many years have done so many different things. And it's never a problem with me selling anything. My word, if I say this is good, most of my customers will buy it, because my word has been proven to hold its weight. But however, in your book, I read that that you suggested that a person just get one thing and master it. And as I thought about that over these 21 years, you know, it really hit me. I said, man, that's a very true statement, because, you know, if you focus on one area or one thing that you can maintain, build, you may have to struggle a little more. Because, see, what I do is I focus, like, I'm in the laundry detergent business. Well, I focused on the laundry detergent. It slowed down just a little bit. I shifted gears, went back to what I know how to do to make the money that I was missing from the laundry detergent, and then I read that part of the book, and I said, wow, that's interesting. But, you know, sometimes I think in us being having a product that we stand behind and it slows down, I think personally you may have to shift gears or change lanes, but still stay on that highway, but just maybe change the lane for a moment so that, you know, you can still get to the destination that you're trying to get to without getting caught up in a traffic jam. You follow that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, everyone, we have Scotty on the line. He would like to ask a question, but we also have a person on the line. Scotty, do you mind if I take the person? So
yeah, of course, of course. Go ahead.
Okay. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line? Hello?
312?
312, last 4-7-8-8-3. Okay.
Maybe
all right.
They're shy.
Yeah, they're shy. They don't want to talk right now. It's okay. Kimberly, did you have some information or, you know, something to say back to what Robert was saying before we get
started?
Yeah,
I just wanted to say, I mean, when you think about kind of like this generalist approach versus this niche approach, and one of the things I have, you know, learned from a lot of, you know, mainstream white people is that, you know, like doing that niche thing, if we could think about how much money right now is being made in like craft beers or, you know, kind of gourmet moonshine, and like they have really become masters at kind of creating a niche, finding that tribe of people who are so loyal and supported and will pay a premium price for it, and just working the heck out of that market. And I've been really amazed at how, you know, these small craft, I live in New York City, where you can get, like, you know, Kraft mayonnaise, for crying out loud, for $15 a jar. Like, just really interesting stuff that people are supporting. And when and so really kind of finding your tribe and finding a niche that people can relate to and are willing to pay for is also and has been a proven successful strategy. So, you know, when I talk about kind of being a jack of all trades, master of none, you know, both can work, but we can also see that when you can master one thing and create a niche and really create a tribe around that, it's been a successful, you know, a primarily successful way to approach some businesses.
Great information. Okay, we have Scotty Reed again, the CEO of Black Talk Radio Network, on the line. He would like to ask a question. Go ahead, Scotty.
Thank you. Thank you. And greetings to you again, sis. Thank you for joining us on the network. My question is, it's sort of like business ethics. It's not sort of like it. I am talking about business ethics. First, let me just tell you a conversation I had with a person who I've known for years. I've never actually personally met them, but I've known them from years through social media and followed them. They live in New York City, and they say they are a millionaire, but I don't know. You know, I have no reason not to believe him. He got started in real estate, and now he runs his own media company in New York. I don't know if he's still doing the real estate. So we were talking, because I run a nonprofit here in North Carolina. And so I was just having a conversation with him about some things I was hearing here in North Carolina from a couple of, well, it was really just one senator who was saying that people here in North Carolina are using the state nonprofit status to avoid taxes and what have you, and talking about changing the rules to where they're now taxing nonprofits. And so that no fruition came to that. But I was just having a whole conversation with this person about, you know, taxes. And he told me, he said, you know, every person I know that is a millionaire, or any book I've read by a billionaire, that they always talk about avoiding paying taxes. And he said he pays near zero in taxes. So I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about the impact that that has on our community, but on the nation as a whole, because in politics we keep hearing about all these billionaires that's not paying their fair share of taxes. Now, obviously, I don't want to pay more taxes than I should pay or have to pay. But at the same time, I feel like, in my opinion is, I felt like that's kind of unethical when you just trying to avoid paying all taxes when you're living in an area where, you know, you're benefiting from the infrastructure. Well, how is that infrastructure paid for? You know, the schools and all the other services is through taxes. So do you have any thoughts on the ethics of paying taxes? I mean, should we be seeking to avoid paying taxes, or, you know, should we not look to avoid taxes, but of course we don't want to pay more than we should?
Right, and do you mean we as small business owners, or are you talking about really kind of from more of a corporate perspective?
Well, I would think that, you know, of course they're going to be, a small business is going to be in a different tax bracket than, you know, some of these multi-millionaire these corporations and whatnot. So either or both, if you can give us some insight or your thoughts on the ethics of paying taxes as a business.
Yeah, I mean, paying taxes as a business is very important. I mean, the way that unfortunately the way our system is set up is that the more money you have, the more opportunities there are for tax shelters, right? So some of those aren't even available to, you know, small businesses, and, you know, you may not have the money to kind of take advantage of some of these, you know, kind of loopholes and shelters that have been created for the very rich. That is a systemic problem, and, you know, I don't think I have any thoughts on a solution, but I hear you in saying that I don't think people should be gloating about not paying taxes, right? And, you know, basically they're kind of reveling in the fact that they beat the system while lots of other people don't have the money to kind of reach the threshold to beat the system, and that just shows how the system is unfair. So, you know, certainly, you know, people should be paying their fair share, and, you know, not creating an unnecessary burden on those who don't have it to pay, but looking at ways that it can be more equitable. I mean, this is probably why, you know, Bernie Sanders has such momentum in really trying to think about this idea of what is a fair share, and all of us to kind of reconsider how we can think of a new structure, because the current one is probably not working. But, you know, paying taxes is really important. If you don't do it, you will be in big trouble, and it could really cripple your business if you're having tax issues and IRS issues. And, you know, it's very, very important, you know, when you're starting out to make sure you have a reasonable, a good accountant who can help you avoid those things, because I've also seen those issues derail a small business and entrepreneurs. Also, just being careful. I mean, one of the things that I feel like there are lots of things that I've seen other people get away with that I don't think we should try. You know, there's certain things that white people do that we may not want to really, you know, go for, in terms of, you know, often, you know, we're being scrutinized at a different level, so I always kind of caution about that as well, and certainly kind of being prudent about how you handle your taxes. But certainly, you know, gloating over not paying any taxes when and you know, you should be paying something is not the way forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, very good information. Wow. Okay, so I want to get into the book again. I mean, I can't talk enough about this book. I'm in chapter, I'm in story number 8. So this is the fashionista, Tony Scott Grant, president of Scott Free Inc., www.scottfree.com. And Free is spelled P-H-R-E-E, an online fashion boutique. So this says, Tony's story is like those of so many side hustlers turned entrepreneurs, slowly and methodically building, getting back up after emotionally draining setbacks, but maintaining an unwavering determination to see it through. Tony shares her tips for growing a side hustle with style. So some of this information is what we had just talked about. I'm sorry. The iPad and the phone want to ring. I'm so sorry. Okay, there we go. So, again, some of this information is what we had just talked about. And the first entry is talking about research. It took me 3 years of research and online shopping to get my feelers for exactly how an online store could work and figure out what I would like to carry in my own store. Then she writes, manage your time wisely and stay focused. Follow a 3F mantra. Let's see. Never underestimate the power of networking and the likability factor. Kimberly just talked about that. Always overcome heartbreak and setbacks. Get yourself out there, which is networking again. Recognize the power of free. Go the extra mile. Always plan for the future. Don't overwatch the competition. That's very important. Surround yourself with greatness. Everything is a learning opportunity. So that, let's go back to don't overwatch the competition. And it says, I watched the competition a lot in the early days, but I've slacked off a great deal because I find it distracting. There will never be one oak tree. Each tree is different, and that's how I look at the competition. I focus on what makes my company unique and what makes a customer want to shop with me as opposed to the competition. I think that's very important as we see products and services out there that kind of look like what we have. But as I said before, whatever you are blessed with, that's what you are blessed with. You provide that unique experience to your customer. And if we keep that at the forefront of our mind, I think we will continue to be successful. What do you think about that, Kimberly?
Yeah, I mean, I love Toni. She's such an amazing spirit. I often say that, you know, people, and I'm very grateful for your commitment and response to the book, but I always say that what I get from the book is from the book process is even greater than what I'm able to give to my readers. And meeting the amazing women that I've met throughout the journey of all three of the Mocha Manuals is certainly a gift. And Tony and I are still very good friends. and she was with me a few weeks ago to celebrate my birthday, and, you know, one of those amazing people. And since that book, she has actually started a second business called House of Swag, where she does these amazing custom dolls, you know, just very high quality, detailed, you know, kind of made after some of the icons in our community, and just an amazing kind of designed doll business that's really been successful for her. So, but going back to what she was saying, I mean, that is so important, because sometimes, one, we can look so much at the competition that it becomes stifling, and that we're kind of more focused on them than we are what we are, what we're doing ourselves. So, excuse me. So certainly, you know, that is very, very important. And also just, you know, the likability factor. I mean, this is what we were talking about around relationships, you know. Unfortunately, you could have great ideas, but if people don't really feel like they can relate to you, ultimately business is about relationships and people. And if you think that you are only selling product, then you are unfortunately fooling yourself, right? People are really about people. And as Robert was saying about people trust him, right? Like, that's the thing. It's his, you know, he has a reputation, and it's trust, and people know his word. And so you can't really undermine the importance of those things and how business gets done on the day-to-day.
Absolutely. Well, Kimberly, I definitely, you know, I just, words cannot explain how we appreciate you joining us today. I would like for you to take this time to let our listeners know how they could reach out to you and also receive your products or services that you have available for them online or by snail mail.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, mochamanual.com is, you know, where is my primary home base. It's an award-winning website on parenting, and but you can also go there to get all the Mocha Manual books and get some more information about the books. There's also a sister site around Black Breastfeeding 360, which is my passion project, really trying to improve infant and maternal health outcomes in our community. So I would certainly love people to take a look at that. You can follow us on Twitter at Mocha Manual, or me personally at IMKCLDollars. And really just joining the conversation, really being a part of this next wave of empowering women, particularly through entrepreneurship and motherhood, which are kind of two of my passion areas, and really trying to help other people kind of live the life that they want through entrepreneurship. And also, you know, kind of for me, that has been being about the mother that I wanted to be, and those two were able to come together for me because of it. So I'm really happy to kind of help others on that journey.
Okay. Well, do you have any last words for our listeners?
I mean, ultimately, I want to say that, you know, I want to go back to this idea of risk and redefining risk, and this, you know, this way of us thinking about what is risky, but the risk of not living your dreams is a bigger risk that we all should be unwilling to take. So many people, like I said to me, how would you know, who leaves Essence? You know, you're on the senior management of Essence. And I said, you know, it was great that I got to be the senior editor of a large magazine, but now I get to be the editor-in-chief of my life. And for that, I would never trade that in. And so the idea of being able to be in charge of your life and really kind of creating that, and also for me, you know, leaving a legacy for my children to see that you can create and anything is possible and hard work does pay off, has been an important lesson. So I just want to encourage everyone, if you, you know, do the work, do the research, put the time in, make a plan, test it out, talk to others, and then go for it, you know, just go for it. At some point, you're going to have to just take the, you know, take the step, take the leap, take the jump, whatever you want to call it, and make it happen, and know that you can.
Okay, well, I'd like to add also, I'm so thankful for you in your journalism. You're very in tune to what is going on with our people. So often we talk to people and they're just like walking in the darkness as far as the issues that concern us. And it is very clear, and we are aware that you know what is going on. And that is what Black Talk Radio Network is about. It is about promoting our people and recognizing the help that we need. And we definitely consider you a friend to the show. Come back at any time if
you
need to
thank you so much.
If you need to promote any of your services or your products. We definitely offer commercials at a very great rate. So we thank you. Robert, do you have any last words for Kimberly?
I just want to ask you, can I make you a part of my circle, my team? I need to build a team with people with your expertise or advise it, to be able to advise or, you know, just, hey, do it like this or suggest this or suggest that. Because, I mean, we have to get people on the next level to be a part of the team. And I think that you would be one of those great people for BIB Radio, for BTR, the community, and all my personal staff.
Absolutely, absolutely. I would be honored.
No doubt. I'll definitely reach out to you and we'll talk.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kimberly. We definitely look forward to reaching out with you with other information offline. You all reach out. Get the Mocha Manual to Turning Your Passion into Profit, How to Find and Grow Your Side Hustle in Any Economy, which is what we were talking about today. And, of course, she has other products and services available. Go to our website so that you can find that great information that she has for you. Thank you, Kimberly. We will talk to you again soon, okay?
Okay, great. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, everyone, that was an excellent interview.
Yes, it was.
Yes, if you would like to talk, of course, call us, 641-715-3660, participant code 549-032, pound, star 6-1, if you would like to raise your hand and talk, and be seen in queue. We still have someone at 7883 looking like they want to talk, but I don't think they do. So what we're going to do right now is go to our commercial break. You are listening to Black Talk Radio Network. We are BIB, Blacks in Business. We will be back in just a moment.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, everyone, welcome back. You are listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. We are BIB, Blacks in Business. That is the name of our radio program. And we are here every single Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us where we will have great interviews, just like the one we just had with Miss Kimberly Seals Allers, the author of the Mocha Manual, to Turning Your Passion into Profit, How to Find and Grow Your Side Hustle in Any Economy. If you'd like to talk to us now, dial in at 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549-032 pound. If you would like to raise your hand or be seen in queue, press star 6-1, and we would love to speak to you. I have someone in queue, and I know who it is. Let me make sure she doesn't want to ask a question. Hi, Sandra. Did you want to ask a question or no?
Well, actually, this is Patria.
Oh, Patria! Oh, my goodness. How are you?
How you doing?
Oh, my goodness. I'm
good.
So sorry I didn't recognize your phone number. You probably wanted to talk to Kim, but don't worry, because you're my friend. I will make sure that you are hooked into talking to her.
So, yeah, no, I'm good because I've been on and I did get to hear her from the very beginning. And so I give kudos to you for having her on the show. And I just, yeah, I really didn't have a question. The information was quite valuable. And it does look like I need to pick up this book. But I just, yeah, mine was mostly just a comment to, like I say, congratulate you on having her on the show. This was obviously a very good topic, and a topic that's kind of always needed for us, whether, you know, if you're just starting your journey, if you've been on it a little while, you know, you always got to kind of refresh and keep yourself motivated. And so I'm just hoping that I will get a chance to tune into the show a little bit more. You know, on my journey right now, it just appears that I am trading a lot more time for dollars, meaning I am spending a lot of time, you know, Ubering and Lyfting in between my real estate deals. But either way, I'm still very thankful for being able to make my own decisions at this point in my life and you know, set my own schedule. So, again, thank you for having her on the show and making me aware of this book. And I definitely do plan to get this and have it in my arsenal.
Oh, my goodness. I am so happy that you called in. You said Ubering and Lyfting. You are definitely a hustler. And this book definitely resonates with what you have going on, because you are actually one just like Kimberly that decided to walk off your job. You decided that, you know, you wanted to do something different. So, I mean, my goodness, you are like a living witness for the people outside of Kimberly that it can be done. Now, it doesn't mean life is going to be easy, does it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, by no means necessary, but I have celebrated a year already. So July of this year, it has been a year since I've been gone, and I don't have any regrets. And, yeah, it's I read something that said an entrepreneur is willing to work 80 hours a week to keep working 40. Right now, I kind of feel some of that. Of course, I'm not working 80, but I'm saying, yeah, I'm just still in that mode of doing whatever I got to do to be able to speak, to be my own an individual, and just you know, take it step by step until I, you know, get to a more successful level. But the journey is, you know, all of your learning and proving ground and everything.
Absolutely. Well, we definitely congratulate you on your success of 1 year of walking off the job and telling them what to do with it. We appreciate that. And we are here to support you at any time. I had Sandra on the line a little earlier. She's got some things going on. And, you know, I want to talk to both of you, because I definitely want to make sure that I'm supporting you in your endeavors. Because like Robert was talking about tribe, you, me, and Sandra, we are definitely a tribe. So we got to just make sure we keep each other going. But again, I so appreciate you for calling in. Call at any time. Go listen to our previous podcasts on Black Talk Radio Network. All of them are there. Use them for your enlightenment, encouragement to keep going. And, of course, you know, you're a friend to the show. Call back at any time, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, because I got to hop off now. I got to go back to the grind.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Grind on, lift on, Uber on, do all that.
Okay, well, thank you so much, though, and I look forward to talking to you again, Cece.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
That was my good friend, Patria McKinney. She is doing her thing. Again, like she said, you know, she walked off her job a year ago, and that's amazing, a year ago, my goodness. But, you know, she was kind of fearful or whatever, but she did it. She did it, and she is doing she has her own, what is it? It's a conference call that happens once a week. It's called Healthy Fresh Starters, and she promotes healthy living. You know, a lot of us are recognizing and realizing the contaminants that are in the food, and so we're looking to make transitions, and she's one of those that has decided to lead people into the light as far as eating right. And she has testimony of how it has done wonders for her life. But I met Patria through another radio network, and then we attend Power Networking together. And, you know, We just have a group of people that, you know, we kind of stay close-knit. We don't always talk, but when we do, you heard my excitement in my voice. It's always a reunion, you know. I sent a message to her, you know, to listen to the show, and she definitely did, so I'm happy that she was able to utilize some of the information, as well as you listeners, whether it be listening live or podcast. I'm happy that we can provide such information to you all to help you on your entrepreneurial journey. We know it seems a little scary, you know, especially if you've been taught, which we all have, from elementary school, maybe even from preschool, that we should all work a job, you know. It just pains me to think of how many opportunities that have been missed. But, you know, I think it can all be restored if we just set up a different mindset and decide that we want to do something different. We can all go forward. We can develop businesses. Everybody has a passion somewhere, and you can definitely turn your passion into profit, which is what our book talks about here. You guys can get it. Go to her website. MochaManuals.com. Lord have mercy, I don't even know what her website is.
I have it posted for those that listen on the podcast later. I have linked to the book and her website.
Oh.
Her website is just her name.
Okay, good. Thank God for Scotty. Because I'm like, oh, Lord, what was her website? But, yes, definitely connect with that information, people. I mean, sometimes, you know, people are ready to just jump in, but sometimes it takes a little stroking and caressing before you're actually ready to take that leap. Sometimes it takes somebody firing you, or it takes an injury or an illness or something to push you into entrepreneurialism. But whatever it may be, I would say just start preparing your mind now. You know, just start preparing, because there's nothing wrong with being a little different. There's nothing wrong with developing your business. I definitely appreciate the connection that we have made with Kimberly Seals Allers.
CC, that a website for the manual is simply MochaManual.com.
MochaManual.com. Perfect. Thank you. Go to MochaManual.com, everyone, to see the products and services that Kimberly Seals Allers offers. Great information. Thank you. So, Robert, where are you? Are you still here with me somewhere?
Oh, yeah. I just want to take a moment, you know, because of, you know, earlier me and you were discussing how a lot of times credit is not given to pioneers of original ideals, yet people come along and they behind the shade or behind the wall peep into what it is that you have originated, and they benefit from it, and then go out and take bits and pieces and, you know, act original with it. But that's okay. But what I would like to do, because this is not my first rodeo with knowing how to acknowledge people for what they have done for me personally. And with that being said, I was never one. I followed black radio for a long time, and then I got to a point where I was sick and tired and fed up with always hearing the problem and never hearing the solution. So I stopped listening to black radio, black talk radio. Now, I thank you. I wanna say thank you to you, CC, because when I talked to you about I wanted a radio show, I knew I didn't want a regular radio show. And you were able to make that happen through the many, many connects that you have. The one more particular on the other end of this call is Scotty Reed. So I want to definitely take time to say, Scotty, thank you for allowing BIB Radio to be a reality, you see, because if it wasn't for your hard work, your entrepreneurship spirit, and because that's a universal thing, and I know what it is. So you definitely, the BTR community, we definitely have to work on that as entrepreneurs who are benefiting from the exposure that your network is allowing us to have. Those who are, whatever conversations that they're having, topics that they're talking about, we definitely have to work as hard to get your network out there, the BTR community out there, and show our love and appreciation for what you have created, what you have sacrificed for to make this a reality. So tonight, I just really behind, because this has been a weak conversation with us. I had a revelation hit me so hard in the face the last couple of days. I just was like, you know, now I understand, and I can see how few people really are sincere about acknowledging those people who have did something that have allowed them to benefit from it. So your sacrifice, Scotty, I just want to make sure that you know from me personally, and I didn't meet you through, you know, I met you through CeCe. So if I hadn't have met you through CeCe, I probably wouldn't even know who you are. And for me to be doing, you know, with the BIB radio, I'm just really appreciative for your struggle. I'm appreciative for your creativity, and I'm very grateful that you allow an idea that you know came to me in the backseat of a car. You took her word and allowed it to, you know, to be on your radio show network. So I just really want to thank you and encourage people to thank the people, acknowledge the people that you get your creativity or inspired your creativity, those that give you that inspiration. Acknowledge them. Give them their pat on the back. You know, we all need love. And when you acknowledge people that have done something that allowed you to think a certain way or spark your creative senses, hey, if you go and say, hey, or shake their hand or give them a hug and say thank you, they may say something else. They may do something else even greater than what they didn't even realize they had done for you. Now they realize it, they may do something even bigger. Not that you're doing it to get something more out of them, but just it's like the song that the one guy said, he said, tell me that you love me. And then he said, at the end of that, I need to hear it. I'm lost without you. I think y'all know the song. But we all need to hear it. We all need to know that we're not taken for granted. You know, so I just, again, I don't want to make this a long speech, but I just needed to say that to you, Scotty. Thank you for what you've sacrificed, and I know that it was a sacrifice financially. I know it was a sacrifice mentally. I know that it was a sacrifice in your own domestic life, and I thank you for your sacrifices, and hopefully we that are a part of this community can help you build and go to the next level as well, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, let me respond to that. You are very welcome, Brother Robert, but let me just acknowledge all the people over the years, because when I first started Black Talk Radio Network as a platform, you know, it was just me. It was really just me and those listeners who was listening to, you know, the radio program Black Talk Radio before the platform was built, and they just really supported me. You know, it was I was kind of forced into it by injury, forced into entrepreneurialism, as I revealed before, because of injury on a construction job. But when I discovered this technology through the people, I don't even like saying their name because they mistreated me, and they still mistreating people. But anyway, if it had not been for those who came with me from that platform and followed me to the new platform to listen to the program, then when I incorporated the nonprofit, those early donations that came in with the only strings attached was you got to talk about what's happening to juveniles in our justice system. Like, it's not that I wasn't already doing that, but that was their only stipulation, was that I'm going to give you this money to help support the network, but please continue to talk about, you know, these juveniles and their situation. So none of this would happen if it had just been me. If other people didn't express their belief that I could do something, if people didn't put their money behind the nonprofit, their donations, and all the way up to this point, you know, we would not be able to meet our monthly budget if not for, you know, the donors and what have you. So this is, I understand what you're saying. Yes, I did found the platform. I did build the platform, but it is not mine. It is our platform. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you and Sister Cece for being the people that you are in the program that you bring to the network, because what you're doing is helping other people. And that's what we're all about. Like, I would like to think that everybody who has a program on Black Talk Radio Network has a mind for our people, and we just want to share information in hopes that it'll help somebody out there. So the feeling is mutual, Brother Robert. Thank you for being who you are and having a mind to help other people.
Oh, man, that's a beautiful thing. This is what family is about. This is loving our people, first loving self, then loving our people. And I just, there's no dollar amount that, you know, you could pay me to share what God has blessed me to be able to learn about being an entrepreneur. You know, I see many people packaging these, you know, packages together and selling them to our people. But that's not where I want to make my money. I know there's a lot of money to be made, maybe somewhere down the line that may come about. But the masses of the people, really, though, there's a lot of people out there that was once like myself, like I once was, that was just in need of that one somebody to come and give them a breakthrough. And that's what I see this community, the BTR, is that type of community, where if a person can just hear one of these podcasts, or, you know, somebody suggested to them, it may be that break that person was looking for. And then they can get in contact with us and call us direct. Because if they call me direct about anything related to entrepreneurship, it's almost like everything else in my life stops. And I'm all ears for that person on the phone, and they can ask away. I want you to ask me questions. I want to be able to share with you the ups and the downs, the successes and the not-so-successes. You know, I want to give you that. I don't want to see anybody have to bump their head, twist their ankles, and, you know, trying to maneuver in the potholes of the road to success. I'd rather tell you, hey man, if you make this right turn here, it's not going to be that pretty, because I did it. I did it with me. I got personal experience. And that's just, I think if we all have that attitude about one another, rather than I'm going to charge you for this, then we as a people can surely come up out of this. We got to have more formats like this, I think, and just have a sincere desire to want to see change. That's all. I mean, that's what I want. I just want people to do better.
Well, this is a great platform for all that to start, you know, and like we talked about before, it's about being selfless and not selfish, you know, because a lot of problems that we see start when everybody wants to be the original or the one-man band. They want the notoriety. But when we can just decide that everyone is important, then we all get the credit where credit is due. Again, we see so many platforms repeating the same information. You know, it's like black this, black that, black business this, black. And it's like, why do we have so many? And that's because people are not willing to JV, joint venture, combine, and decide that, you know, we're stronger. We're a greater unit together if we combine forces versus being fragmented. We're already fragmented as a people, so why not, when we develop these great organizations and companies, why not combine? But that's what we do here on Black Talk Radio Network. And we would like to tell you all, you know, if you have interest in having a radio program, you can definitely reach out to us. If you have a business that you would like a commercial ad for, you could definitely reach out to us. If you have questions about business, you can definitely reach out to us. We're here for you. You could email us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Definitely reach out to us. We're here to help you. We will only have a community when we decide to build one. So let's do it. We're here to help you again. But we're here every single Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that would be 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And all of our shows are available on podcast. Just go to the blacktalkradionetwork.com, where there is some great shows that play there. I mean, 24/7, we have wonderful information to help and promote our people. It's no fluff, it's no nonsense, it's not this stuff that you'll hear on TV where, you know, it's just not real. This is a real network with real people that want to reach out, like Scotty said, and help. So reach out to us. That's, again, we are blacks with an S in business at gmail.com. We're happy to help you get started on your entrepreneurial journey. If you have a business that you would like to talk about on Blacks in Business Radio, we would love to have you on as a guest. Just reach out to us. We'll get you on. We'll get your bio, your story, all of your information, and have you on as a guest. Feel free to do that. If you know a person that wants to be a guest, let us know. If you have a book that you wrote on business, black business, entrepreneurialism, we'll get you on. If you have some music that is, what do you call that music, Scotty? I keep forgetting the term.
You're talking about some music for a theme or something like that, theme music?
Oh, yeah, it's called, I don't know, it means that it's not license encumbered, like, you know, like if we play Mary J. Blige on here, somebody could sue us, technically, you know, they could, but there's some music that people have, and, you know, Scotty plays the music that people create if they want it online. I can't remember the term right now, but...
Message,
yeah.
Music?
Not the message music, but the kind that you get off YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It's royalty-free.
Yes.
Royalty-free.
Royalty-free music. If you have message music or royalty-free music, you know, email it over to us. You know, we'll review it, and if it's cool, we'll put it on air. Whatever you're doing in your business, we definitely want to support and promote you. Again, we are Blacks in Business. With an S, blacks, all of us, in business, at gmail.com. Well, the show is definitely winding up. Robert, what do you have to say about, I mean, would you like to summarize this? What I want to do is, I just love this book. I'm telling you, this book, The Mocha Manual to Turning Your Passion into Profit, How to Find and Grow Your Side Hustle in Any Economy, Kimberly Steeles Allers. I want to go all the way to the back of the book.
I'm certainly going to get that book.
Yeah.
I like something that she said. Free is good. Free is good. Ain't nothing wrong with free when you can get it.
Oh, nothing is wrong with free. That is absolutely true. But this book, I don't want to call it an easy read to like simplify it or whatever, but it is. It's an easy read. It's a comfortable read because the information is so meaty, you know. I mean, you can't help but love this book. I mean, I want to get the other books too, although I'm not breastfeeding anybody or anything like that. I'm definitely going to get those books so I can read them and refer other people to them. But she's got information on accounting in the very back of the book, books for entrepreneurs that she suggests. I'm going to put those on CC and Friends Book Recommends, which is a Facebook page that I have. If you like great advice on which books to read. Again, that CC and Friends book recommends. Join that Facebook group. But the books that she has here is The Tipping Point, How Little Things Can Make a Big Difference by Malcolm Gladwell, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Starting Your Own Business by Edward Paulson, Ladies Who Launch, Embracing Entrepreneurship and Creativity as a Lifestyle by Victoria Collagen and Beth Schofield. And there's one. There's a section on business plans. The book is called B-Plans. The website is bplans.com. How to Write a Business Plan by Mike McKeever. Now, that's a big step that we kind of step over is the business plans. I think everybody should have a business plan. Even if you're already in business, you need to do that. Then there's another book called MiniPlan.com, Master Plans, Professional Business Plan Writers. Let's see, SBA Business Plan Basics. We have a hookup with that, too. We have a contact for that if you need help with your SBA business plan. But this says www.sb, S as in Sam, B as in Barbara, a.gov/smallbusinessplanner/plan/write-a-business-plan/index.html. So, I mean, my goodness, there's so many references here. I mean, it's like pages and pages of references in the very back of the book. It's like she didn't really have enough time to write all the things that she really wanted to write. So I can't wait for her to come out with her other book in January. So you all go ahead and get that book. Seriously. I mean, it's centered around females, but I mean, males, you can definitely capitalize on that information. Robert was reading the book today and he was enlightened. So I don't know, you guys. You know, that was a meaty show. I was really excited to have her on. Robert, I'm sorry. What, do you have any last words in the last 2 minutes?
Yeah, get the book. Definitely get the book. It's got a lot of good points in it. If you're an entrepreneur, you've been doing this for a while, it never hurts to always be able to reference from people who have done it and are doing it. And you can connect mentally, because you may not get the chance to meet the Bill Gates or all these big peoples, you know, the Russell Simmons. You may not get a chance to meet them, but you definitely can connect with them if you get the book. So get this sister's book, because I've scanned through it, and she got some really good stuff in the book. And like I said a minute ago, just acknowledge when you get good information, acknowledge the people you get it from. You know, don't make it seem like you originated something. None of us have really originated. Only thing, when thought hits your brain, you know, you think it's yours, but it's not yours. So you have to give reference, you know, pay homage to whoever you're getting this stuff from, and just respect that, you know. Show the love, show the respect, because when you come up with something and they get it and they take it and they act like, you know, they didn't get it from you, you're not going to feel that good about that. So people, get this lady's book, and when you read this book and you get all those great points, go on her website and make a comment, thank her, you know. And that's what we have to do with one another. So I love you guys. I love BIB Radio. I love the BTR community. And out of that love, we have to be committed. When we say we love something, that means that we have to work harder. So I'm out of here. I love you all. Peace. You know, live well.
All right. Thank you all. See you next Thursday. Good night.